Welcome to the Nordonia Hills Branch Library podcast on nonfiction. This month, we're taking a look at books you may have missed in 2017. Last month, the Friends of the Nordonia Hills Branch Library had their annual meeting to review the successes of the past year and a picture of what's to come in the upcoming year. Following this meeting, I was invited to present my annual book talk, Books You May Have Missed, for 2017. I discussed nearly 70 books that evening, half fiction, half nonfiction, presenting general overviews of each title. Attendees were given a book list so they could follow along, as it were, in case there was any book titles that caught their fancy or sounded interesting. Today on the podcast, we are presenting edited excerpts of that program, specifically focusing on, as you may imagine, the nonfiction titles. And here we go.
Well, thank you once again for this opportunity to present this book talk. This is my 18th year doing it. We'll start with the nonfiction side of things for 2017. This is Share. This is a collection of recipes to be gathered or for family gatherings, things to be served family style as opposed to individual portions. Everything from drinks to desserts for a wide variety of tastes. Well illustrated, wonderful photographs throughout. It's a larger format book. It has been popular this year. The Swiss Army Knife book. More projects than you could ever believe that can be done with a Swiss Army knife. Everything from serving utensils to chairs to all sorts of stuff. And, you know, if one thing you figure out after you've finished this book is you really should own a Swiss Army knife because you can do so much with it. 26 Seconds. This is by the granddaughter of the man who shot the most famous home movie in world history, the Zapruder film. If you're interested in more, I did a complete podcast on this book this past year. How They Decorated. A unique way to approach decorating. They present the 16, what they would call tastemakers, famous people from the 20th century, and how they approached decorating, their style, brief biographies of each of them, specifically in terms of how they consider their own personal style, especially as it involves decorating. And they break it into four different types, these 16 people. Grand decorating, legacy, chic, or unconventional. So, and is illustrated throughout. So if you're into home decorating and or style making, this is, you know, style makers, this is an interesting title there. The Triple Dog Dare. The Friends, again, sponsored Ms. Wilson, who was here at the end of November. She wrote this book. She is a Christmas movie and TV expert. She's appeared on Discovery Channel and History Channel and all sorts of different places. She lives here in Akron. She thought it would be interesting to see what it would be like to watch all 24 hours of A Christmas Story. And so she wrote a book about her experiences. Now, it's not just her personal experiences, although it is. And during the 24 hours, she actually does try to wash her mouth out with soap. And she actually does open Christmas presents, even though she does this in February. She doesn't do it. She didn't want to waste Christmas doing a work project. So she set it up as fake Christmas over Valentine's Day weekend a year or two ago. And so it's very interesting. And she goes into all sorts of different musings about what other movies might be considered for a 24-hour marathon and the history of the making of the movie and whatnot. So very interesting if you're a Christmas Story fan, a great book to pick up and a quick read. Hitmakers. This author takes us on the idea behind what makes something a hit, whether it's movie or a song or a product, the viral video, that kind of stuff. He discusses things that have been hits and how they got to be that, and certain commonalities that occur among things that are considered sensations. Yeah. The idea that people like to have what he calls a familiar surprise, something that is new, but something that still rings kind of familiar to people. So there's still a comfort level there with people approaching it. And then check out the fashion definitions over time. And he has a list of different adjectives to define fashion depending on what time it is compared to when it's in fashion. 10 years before its time would be indecent. 5 years before its time is shameless. 1 year before its time is daring. Current fashion is smart. 1 year after its time is dowdy. 10 years after its time is hideous. 20 years after its time is ridiculous. 30 years after its time is amusing. 50 years after its time is quaint. 70 years after its time is charming. 100 years after its time is romantic. And 150 years after its time is beautiful. So it's an interesting idea about what makes something in. And then you're dead. These are for the people who pause to drive by the car crash kind of slowly, you know, see what happened. You know. This book details somewhat, sometimes gruesomely, about things that would happen when one of the unthinkable things happens. A jetliner window blows out, you get swept over Niagara Falls, the elevator cable breaks, that kind of stuff. Enough details to make you worry about a lot of things that you never really thought about. And it even talks about why you get an ice cream headache. Cutting Back. This is a memoir of the first American woman to ever join one of the oldest landscaping companies in Japan. It talks about her experiences maintaining some of the most exquisite properties in the country, all the things she learned, the things that she had to go through in terms of dealing with, which is pretty much an all-male, or if not all-male, at least all-Japanese type of career. The President's Kitchen Cabinet. This is the story of the over 150 African-American men and women who served the White House throughout the years, cooking, baking, preparing for the presidents and their families. It also includes 20 recipes from the White House recipe book. The Art of Cardboard. This is basically a two-part book. The first half is a gallery of different artists who work entirely in the medium of cardboard. And if you see some of the, these statue and this bike are all done out of cardboard. So that's the first half of the book. The second half of the book are cardboard projects that you can take on yourself. So if you're ever interested in working in what is a very affordable medium, this is a great book to pick up. I Fought the Law. This is an edgy take on some of the more bizarre laws in the United States on a state-by-state basis, and they're all two-page spreads in alphabetical order by state. So this is Kentucky. It's illegal to lick a toad in Kentucky. In Nevada, it's illegal to put an American flag on a bar of soap. Ohio is, let's see. North Dakota, getting there. It's illegal to disrobe in front of a portrait of a man.
That's
understandable. So, nudity and more make this a book for some people and not others. So, Atlas Obscura, 600 unique travel destinations, each one considered a hidden wonder. It's organized by continent. I think of it as a Ripley's Believe It or Not for travelers. Find places such as the Danish Tower in Denmark, that is not only Europe's oldest functioning observatory, but also hosts a once-a-year unicycle race from top to bottom because there are no steps. To get from the top to the bottom is one continuous helical ramp that goes around the center of the tower. And they race unicycles. The Home Decluttering Diet. This is a larger format book on how to clear the clutter and reclaim space from your stuff. It is a year-long plan. It's packed with hundreds of items, ideas, and tips to help you get control over all the stuff that you have in your house or wherever you live. Sweet Spot, a wide-ranging survey of all things ice cream. The history, the evolution, the invention, the competition, the extreme flavors, and an ice cream road trip to different places that are unique on the ice cream map of America. You will not want to read this book hungry, although There is a description in here about the charm of mustard-flavored ice cream. How to Read Water is a quaint little book containing old wisdom, the ability to observe and decipher water in all its forms, all its signs, all its habits. It touches on weather and navigation, on nature and boats, from puddles to oceans, rivers, lakes, beaches, everything along the way. It is thoughtful. It is useful. You will discover a new way of looking at water. He talks about just observing a puddle. He writes like he's Thoreau. He's just observing this puddle, you know, and it's intriguing. It really is. Walks of a Lifetime, 30 extraordinary hikes located all around the world, each chosen with an eye towards making the hike a rewarding experience. Most of these are long distance or multi-day type of hikes. The authors are big proponents of walking as a way to think, to relax, to reflect. And also, they incorporate an appreciation of the natural world, obviously, with some of these trails really cross some of the most spectacular scenery. And also includes helpful information about if one catches your fancy, how to plan your trip there, how to get there, that kind of stuff. Conversation, History of a Declining Art, a look at the history and the art of conversation, all the way from ancient Greeks to the modern day. The author argues that conversational art is declining, and he presents the symptoms of such, as well as ideas on what he would do to improve the art of conversation in today's society. I'd Rather Be Reading, a small book containing artwork and musings about the joys of reading, plus 13 ways to get more reading done in your life. And it's, you know, a very quick read because some of it is artwork that's in there and some of it is the text. So, iGen. This is the first extensive book about the I generation. And you may have seen Miss Twinge, or Dr. Twinge, I should say, on TV recently because she has been out there in the media. The I generation is considered the generation after the millennials. So the birth dates would be 1995 to 2012. They're the ones that grew up with the screens being ubiquitous, meaning the personal handheld electronic devices, that kind of stuff. These kids are super connected. They spend an inordinate amount of time with their devices to the point where teenage drinking and teenage sex has actually declined because the kids are spending so much time in their bedroom at home by themselves with their device. The all-new illustrated guide to everything sold in hardware stores. A clever guide to exactly what the title states. It's a guide to the items that are sold in hardware stores, but it's divided by topics. So types of nails, types of tape, types of glue, paint, plumbing fixtures, electric fixtures, rope, and so much more. I enjoyed this book so much, I bought my own copy. So you've been publicly shamed. A fascinating look at one of our worst fears, that of being shamed for all to see and hear. You have stories of people who got their comeuppance or got their unique form of justice, some who deserved it and some who didn't. And there's some funny stories in there and stories that you just feel sorry for the people who are the top of the subjects there. Get Out of My Room, A History of Teen Bedrooms in America. The idea of a teenager having their own bedroom is unique to America after World War II. So this book looks at the ideas of the living arrangements for family members, especially children, throughout history, but especially after World War II, and how this has impacted culture and society as the generations have come up with their unique shopping habits. And, of course, the turnaround, the other side of that coin, their unique appeal to marketers that sell their stuff specifically to the teenage demographic. Go! An inspirational guide to getting outside and challenging yourself. This is a book of exercise challenges organized by the time that it takes to complete one. From one-hour walks to weeks-long affairs. The thought process here is once you've identified something that you're going to do, whether it's just a one-hour walk or something much longer, once you've got it in place, The idea is to beat your time or to better your performance the next time you do it, so that you're doing these things again and again. You find something that you like to do, and then you strive to better that. Super fandom describes the modern era of fandoms, those super fans of people, products, movies, places, teams, products, whatnot. Takes the reader behind the scenes to find out how famous brands are connected with the people who manufacture stuff and license them. There's huge conventions of where, you know, Disney or DC Comics or Marvel or whatever will set up, and people will come hat in hand to them saying, we have toothbrushes that we'd like to put Superman on, and then they'd have to negotiate with the price if DC is willing to talk to them or whatnot. And with the new ability with crowdsource funding, where people can go on a GoFundMe account or Kickstarter or something like that and can actually fund new things without having to have a big company affiliated with it, the idea of being a super fan is changing. Also with the social media, with Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, people can move the needle even from their own home if they get into if they can start something up that catches a spark, and they can affect how people perceive products, people, stars, brands, that kind of stuff. Fictitious dishes, dozens of two-page spreads with memorable meals, where they'll have the title and the description on the one side and a picture of the item, the food, on the other. These are memorable meals from fictional novels across a wide spectrum, from Gulliver to Rebecca, from Anne of Green Gables to Huck Finn. It was a work of love from a fellow bibliophile.
She took a meal that's described in a book and actually made it?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and sometimes not just a meal, sometimes it's just a particular item. Like Oliver Twist, gruel. So, yeah. To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf. You have beef und daub. I don't know. I'm not up on my French, so. You know, beef, bay leaf, wine, done to a turn. So, yeah. So it's not always complete meals, you know. So.
But something that was described.
Something that was actually in the books, yes. Yeah.
She
took pictures of it and made it, yeah.
All right.
So.
It is.
It's a kind of little, it's a nice browsing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Dear Fahrenheit 451, a librarian does what some of us may have always wanted to do, write letters to over 60 books and book series explaining why she either loves them, tolerates them, or is going to dump them. Books that she writes to, these are letters to different books, range from the Miss Marple stories to 50 Shades of Grey. She also throws in 10 short essays throughout on various topics such as good books with bad covers. So, another book for Studio. This is an oversized tribute to that working creative space, the studio. From the inspiration for a studio of one's own, because there's lots of different ones that are featured in here, some more cluttered than others, some more Spartan than others, to considering the work that you would like to do in a studio if you want to set one up, to the actual ways to make one space, make one studio space, and putting it actually into action. It is well illustrated, and it is inspiring. Movie night menus, 30 menus styled around 30 iconic movies, recipes and stories about the movies that are involved, also ways to turn the simple menu or the recipes into an actual party for each movie. So if you want to have a Giant by George Stevens, Guys and Dolls, American in Paris, Sunset Boulevard. I didn't notice this, but they have one for Alfred Hitchcock's Rope. The menu is a murder and a canapé. Camembert in a coffin, Parmigiano rope twists, etc. Looking backward, this is a book that is a series of what were originally stereoscopic photographs from the beginning of the 20th century. Most of the pictures in here date from the years 1895 to 1915. These depict historic as well as not so historic people, places, and events, all black and white. Some of them are quite stark for the time, or even for today. The Wayfarer's Handbook. This is a field guide for the independent traveler. Thousands of helpful tips, advice, and information packed into a small volume. The print is very small, but lots of information on here. From seasickness to pickpockets, from tying knots to the art of haggling, this is worth reading by anyone who travels, but especially people who travel overseas. It is a very chock full of information kind of book. And the final one, National Geographic Infographics. It's a compilation of the many different infographics that the magazine has featured in their magazine over the years. So it's, for all intents and purposes, pretty much a browsing kind of situation, but it'll take you a while to get through all of it, you know. And National Geographic does a wonderful job with their infographics, and the thing weighs probably 9 pounds, so... And that does it for the books for 2017. So, thank you. Yes.
And that completes our podcast for this month. If you're interested in the full book list of the titles I discussed that evening, we have copies available for you to pick up in person at Nordonia Hills Branch Library. Join us again next month when we will present another topic on nonfiction. Until then, we will see you at your Nordonia Hills Branch Library. Music by 20 Riverside, provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening.